You have any questions about anything we've covered so far?
I guess one thing, I have all this material, and I would like to be able to figure out a good way to go back and really integrate it within me. And I wondered what your thoughts on that might be.
In terms of integrating the different stuff that we've been covering in these master classes, right? So
Right, correct.
you're using it in everyday settings.
I mean, I find myself like thinking like, okay, we talked about that, but then I can't really quite remember exactly, the details. Like accessing resources. I know we've got the dream state. I know we have, the ability to learn. Your unconscious is a protector, but then, I can't remember the other three that we talked about. I mean, I find myself like doing stuff like that all the time.
It's actually
Pardon?
quite natural because whenever you're exposed to a huge amount of information, some of it gets stored unconsciously, some of them gets stored as consciously accessible, and some of it just kind of drifts by the wayside, right? So here's some things you can do. Number one, there's a reason why you have a manual, because the manual summarizes the content of each session. The review, if you want to have conscious attention on something, it's not necessary that you always have to have conscious attention, by the way. If you want to do this consciously, which I suspect you may enjoy, it's useful to just dig out the old manuals, maybe even carry them around, and when you have 5 minutes to spare, just go over the headings or just go over the different topics and notice how those things trigger recall for you. And they've been designed to do that, right? And it'll happen. You will trigger all kinds of recall. On the odd occasion that you have no idea what the manual is talking about, that will tell you that this is a bit where your consciousness was you kind of drifted away and wasn't really imprinted, even unconsciously. At which point, just pull out the MP3 that relates to it and listen to that. That's one way to do it. Another way to do that is to play these recordings in the background as you do other stuff. You've been through it once already, but so you know what this stuff is consciously, and you can do this, by the way. This is not an exclusive tactic. It can be inclusive of what we've already been talking about. But by playing in the background, particularly things like the demonstrations, it begins to sink in at a different level, right? It becomes more part of your scenery for yourself. Another thing you can do is notice how you do these things in normal everyday life. Typically, what I would recommend you do is each day you get up and either systematically or alternatively, if you're a very systematic person, totally randomly choose a topic. Choose any of the master classes you've been exposed to. Maybe pull out your notes, look at one thing in those notes, and dedicate that day to that one thing. Now, one thing might be putting someone in a good state. That one thing might be a dream integration power loop. That one thing might be a covert trance. That one thing might be the very thing we're talking about here, which is the covert influencing thing, right? At that point, when you have that one thing, then you maybe just write that down on a little bit of card or somewhere that, or maybe set your time on your watch just to remind you during the day to do it. And whenever your watch alarm goes off, you find a context in which you get to do that. Whenever you think about it, you try and weave it into your conversation. You try and use it in part of the meeting. If you're in the middle of engrossing, for example, I know you're doing law, so if you're in the middle of a research project, so you're not talking to anyone, take a 5 minute break, talk to your secretary, talk to a junior, talk to anyone, talk to a client, and see if you can weave that pattern in then, or even just begin to weave it in. The very fact that you're beginning is often enough to make your mind try and find better ways of doing it, because it sort of thinks, well, hang on a second, that didn't quite work out. How can I do it better? And then the next time your watch goes off, you'll have a better idea, a better way of weaving it in. Does that make sense to you, Paul?
Yeah, it
And provided that each day you choose a new thing to focus on, it hasn't got to be anything major, it kind of drags you into it, pulls you into using this stuff on a regular basis. And if you're going for the potshot approach, then you get to use this basically, your mind basically starts expanding across all the context and thinking, what else can I use here? Does that answer your question there, Paul?
it does.
You go, can I ask you a quick question? I've been doing, you know what you said about, my upward inflections?
Yeah, like that one.
Yeah, that one. I've been trying to do command tone down. What I've found is I think my voice is naturally quite low energy,
Yeah.
so I tend to do upward inflections a lot to try, if it makes sense, to try and, do you
Increase
know
the
what I mean?
energy levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been practicing downward command a lot, and my voice seems real monotone, and
Okay.
do you know what I mean?
I do. So here's a couple of things for you to maybe think about or try out. First of all, to get a good command tone down, this is how what I specifically did, and I recommend this as an approach. It's not the only approach, but it's a useful one. Literally, maybe take a teddy bear and put it in a sofa, point at it, or if you have a person even better, you have a live subject, point at them, furrow your eyebrows. You bring your eyebrows close together, like you're maybe angry or being very stern, and you tell them to do something like sit there or stand up or move over there, right? Almost,
Right, yeah.
so basically you're literally practicing command tonality by using the physical behaviors of it at the same time, the physiology of command. It helps you get into the mode for it, right? I don't recommend that you do that for the rest of your life. This is not how you address people because you may well find a lot of resistance happening, but it's useful as a training wheels to get you used to switching that tonality. Now, partly, I suspect, because of you've got a sort of like a Cornish Somerset accent, I suspect that you're from that part of the world. There is a tendency for that accent also to have a lot of upward inflections within it. It's just part of how people communicate there, right? So, a great exercise in terms of creating vocal variety will be, for example, to use stressors. Take a sentence like, I'm walking through the woods today. And then read the same sentence out. Record yourself so you hear it. It's very important you hear your own voice so you get feedback. And you say the sentence and you maybe underline each word in turn and you stress it differently. I was walking through the woods today. And think about it. How does that feel inside my own head when I hear it? My own voice coming back. I was walking through the woods today. I was walking through the woods today. Now, hopefully, you can already hear just by changing the emphasis, I'm changing the meaning.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the next step you do. Then you begin to introduce this idea into your normal conversations. Don't worry so much about the upwards inflections at first. Go into normal conversations and randomly stress a word. Just did it then, for example. Right? So you can mean even randomly stress a word and still finish at the upward inflection. But you've randomly stressed the word. So it's okay to have an upward inflection at the end. Right? So you just get used to having the stressing of the different words in different parts of the sentence. The third phase you can then try and introduce, this is just a step-by-step process, would be to add the emphasis at the end of the sentence, which is where you normally put the upward inflection. Make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So if you find yourself about to make an upward inflection, stress that particular element, and it may well take care of the inflection part of it. So that's one whole cycle of things. The other thing I would say is just learn to become more expressive. Watch how actors do it and richly, again, record your voice doing this if you want. Try different ways of using your own voice. Become louder, become quieter. Try and express an emotion. As a rule of thumb, what you feel inside will come through in your tonal qualities. So if you talk about If you think about, think right now of someone you really dislike. And then as you think about someone you really dislike or a situation you really dislike, say, I love you. It comes across wrong because, especially when you have the mannerisms as well, it doesn't fit the context. Think about something you like or someone you like and say, I love that. And you should hear a lot more enthusiasm in my voice because I had a different mental image.
Right,
Right?
yeah.
So that's another thing really worth doing. You've got my conversation hypnosis home study course, right?
Yeah.
Okay. These exercises I'm describing right now are actually in that. Go back to the tonality section within that and
Yeah.
listen to that. There are plenty of exercises along this line that will take you further. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay. So listen to
Great.
that, go through it, and then feel free to feedback. Let me know how you get on with that next week.
Okay, wicked. I will go and shout out to Teddy
Fantastic.
then. A bit of my bedroom, not they?
All right then.